We're in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, enjoying the spiritual fulfillment of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul had written that we believers in the church will be an eternal display of the grace of God. God's grace extends to us believers to cause us to enjoy spiritual fulfillment in Jesus Christ, what is greatly needed in evangelicalism today, seen by the many books now in print and trying to gain spiritual fulfillment. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21 explains the spiritual fulfillment we believers can enjoy in Christ and how to obtain it. So we study that passage to apply its truth for great blessing in our needy era to God's glory. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer this morning, have a word of prayer before we get into the ministry of His Word. Father, we thank You for the opportunity of coming into Your presence this morning. We have a very important passage here on spiritual fulfillment, and it's greatly needed in the church today. We recognize it. So we ask, Father, for wisdom to get into the passage, to understand the truth, and then to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the verses, and then we'll look at them in our Bible study. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14 and going to the end of the chapter. For this cause I bow my knees unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Paul prayed to God the Father, from whom every family of human beings in earth and on earth is named, be they saved Hebrews or Gentiles, in Jesus Christ. He definitely has believers in mind. Now in this prayer, Paul asked the Father that believers might come to enjoy spiritual fulfillment. Now those believers, obviously, who are in glory right now are experiencing the fulfillment, spiritual fulfillment with the Father. He's really concerned about believers here on the earth. First, Paul asked the Father that his believing readers might be strengthened with God's might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, the soul and the spirit of the believer. In verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's the heart of man. That's the area of tremendous need today. Now, we need to explain how this actually occurs, and we can explain this from other passages in Scriptures. Many evangelicals try to gain inner strength from their own effort by counseling or practicing Christian yoga, etc., where God has already provided the indwelling Holy Spirit to author such strength. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. So we have God the Holy Spirit already indwelling us. One of the great tragedies of the church today is that people are not utilizing that enormous, infinite resource. God the Holy Spirit is there. They're not looking to Him. They're looking to everything else for fulfillment, but not to Him. Now, the way one obtains this strength in the inner man is by relating well to the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. First, the believer must confess any sins that block his rapport with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, failure, then, to deal with sins blocks the Holy Spirit's edifying fellowship with the believer. It's interesting in that passage in the book of 1 John, the first epistle of John, not the Gospel of John, the first epistle of John, chapter 1. John wrote in verses 5, 6, and 7, this is the message that we have heard from Him. The Him in the context is the Lord Jesus. And declare unto you that God is light. And that means God is in in the context of the revealed truth of the Word of God. And in him is no darkness at all. In other words, there's nothing that is unbiblical in God. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, in other words, we're living in violation of the Word of God, we lie and do not the truth. This is why many Christians today don't have that spiritual fulfillment. Often they're just living in violation of the Word of God. They're worldly, or they're in violation of God's word in regards to issues of marriage, divorce, remarriage, and all that, or other things. They may be not properly handling money. Maybe they lust after material things. They're just all sorts of problems. And that is keeping people from having rapport with God. So you've got to deal with sin. You have to have it confessed up. And second, the believer must rely by faith on the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 talks about this. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the sin nature. The walk is live your life in accordance with or in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And then we will enjoy being strengthened in the inner human spirit by the Holy Spirit. This is so basic, but it's so very important. We've got to have our lives cleaned up. We have to be have our sins confessed up, and then we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to handle life. We're going through a pandemic right now, the coronavirus pandemic, and there's a lot of stress in society over this. There's a lot of stress, believe it or not, in the lives of many Christians. Well, I believe the Lord's allowed that as a test. Are you going to rely on my Spirit or not? If you rely on the Holy Spirit, you'll handle it. If you can't rely on the Holy Spirit, you'll be stressed. That's all there is to it. Now, second, with his believing readers thus empowered, having their sins confessed up and they're relying on the Holy Spirit, Paul asked God the Father that they might experience Christ settling into their everyday experiences, that he might dwell. The Greek word is katoikesai. Literally, it means to be at home in their lives. You see, when a believer knows Jesus Christ as his Savior, spiritually, he's actually vitally united with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit already. But to have Christ dwell at home in your life means that Christ feels comfortable expressing himself in your life because your life is clean. It's not full of sin. And from other scripture passages, we explain how this occurs. I want to turn to John's Gospel, John chapter 14, where Jesus talks about this, how this occurs very clearly. John chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. Jesus said, "He that has my commandments and observes them," or keeps them, or obeys them, "he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas said unto him, this is not Judas Iscariot, the other one, "How is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me," this is verse 23, "if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." We'll make ourselves at home with him in his life. So in John 14, 21 to 23, Jesus said that if a believer obeyed his commands, both the Father and he would enter into his everyday life experiences and make their abode with him. This is really a priceless experience. I had this experience. My wife needed a particular type of item for cooking, and it was a very special item. It was a paper item. And we didn't have access. I didn't know if we were going to have access to it because there's been, with the pandemic, there's been a run on paper products. So she sent me to the first store, and they didn't even have Kleenex, let alone these other paper products. So I went next door to a grocery store, and she sent me there looking for meat. I couldn't find any of the meat that I was looking for either. But I thought, well, since I'm here, I'm just going to check the paper products aisle. So I went around to the paper products aisle, and you have the aisle running the full length of the store. And it was empty, except in the middle, there was a couple of bundles of paper products. So I went up there, and the very brand that my wife had wanted was there. And so I was able to pick one of the bundles. You talk about the Lord's involvement. I could see the Lord's hand In fact, that's happened a couple of times during this pandemic, things that we've needed, the Lord has provided by the time we were able to get to the store. Sometimes it was the last item that was there. So that's how the Lord wants to come in and make his abode with us. Now, this obedience results from the believer's walking in fellowship with the Lord and by having his sins confessed and his relying on the Holy Spirit's power to be able to obey the Lord. We've already noted that above. Now, third, Paul asked the Father that his readers spiritually endowed might be rooted and grounded in God's love so as to comprehend with all believers the immensity of the love of Jesus Christ, what passes knowledge, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, when the believer sees the Lord interacting with him in his daily walk in richly encouraging ways, he will begin to realize that God's love for him is far beyond what he humanly has the capacity to fathom, a spiritually fulfilling realization. I've often enjoyed getting into conversations with people in our church who will tell me about how the Lord had revealed himself in some special way in their lives, either giving them insight or making a provision for them, or maybe they ran into a very severe trial and they came to a Sunday school class, or they listened on the internet to an MP3 recording of a certain lesson, and the Lord addressed that issue absolutely head on and relieved them from the pain or the trouble that they were facing. I thoroughly enjoy that, because those are experiences where we see the love of God in our lives. He's demonstrating his love in a very realistic way, and that is incredibly fulfilling. In fact, there's one dear brother in Christ, every now and then we have this special saying. It comes from an old ad. It doesn't get any better than that. And we've said that amongst ourselves. It's wonderful to see the Lord at work in our lives. Now, moved by the greatness of God's grace and all of this, Paul himself broke out into a doxology in verses 20 and 21 of Ephesians chapter 3. This is where he said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So Paul acknowledged that God could do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us. It's interesting, Paul had just written about some things that he wanted God to do, he had requested, and he recognized that God had the capacity to do far above even what he had asked in this particular passage of Scripture. So Paul then gave glory to God in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages to come. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is going to go on eternally. Imagine having been in heaven for a trillion years. Can you imagine that? The manifestation of the grace of God to us is still going to be ongoing, because God is an infinite God. Paul then prayed to God the Father, requesting that he, by the Holy Spirit, who indwells each believer, might empower the inner man of every believer, equipping each one to experience fellowship with Christ in his everyday life, that thus being rooted and grounded in God's love, each might come to realize the immensity of God's love for him, a truly spiritually fulfilling experience that leads one to praise God for his infinite grace. So an application, spiritual fulfillment in the inner man is not the result of practicing some man-made discipline, but from relating well to God, the Holy Spirit, who already indwells us and has done so from the first moment we trusted in Christ. You see, the spiritual fulfillment that we need in our walk and experience, God is aware of that. And that's why the instant we're saved, we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's one of the reasons he put the Holy Spirit within us. Because he wants us to enjoy, from that instant on, ideally, he wants us to enjoy a walk in the power of the Spirit of God, where we enjoy the fullness of God and the expressions of God's love in our lives. This is why Christians experiencing sorrow or grief or depression and so forth, that's caused by things other than physical. I mean, you can feel depressed because of a physical situation, but but because of emotional issues or because of the spiritual realm and so forth, it's uncalled for. We already have an infinite God, the Holy Spirit, who's indwelling us, and he's there to give us spiritual fulfillment. Thus, to enjoy great spiritual fulfillment in our Christian walk, may we confess any sins that block our spiritual fellowship with the Lord and rely on the Holy Spirit in order to obey Scripture and thus see Jesus Christ interact with us in our everyday lives, just like he said in John 14, 21 to 23. In so doing, we will gain a glimpse of God's immense love for us, and that will cause us to praise him for his great grace. We may break out into our own kind of doxology to the Lord. And sometimes when the Lord does this, you're going to find that it's just overwhelming when you consider the great things that God has done. Many years ago, as we were coming home from Africa, my father would arrange for one of the missionaries who was located in the home office in New York City at the time to purchase a car. Dad would forward the money to him. He would purchase a car for us so that we would have a car waiting for us at the airport. They'd pick us up in the car, and then we would use that car to drive from New York all the way to our home in California, all the way across the United States. And as we would go, we would stop in various churches that had supported us and so forth. Well, one time we were getting ready to come home, my mother had a prayer request. She had seen a Catalina, 1960 Catalina, and she loved the color of Klondike gold or something of that color. And so she had, I don't think she'd even bothered to pray about it, if I recall, but she had a desire, well, I would love to be able to drive in a Catalina. Now, the year was 1963, so that it wouldn't have been too expensive to purchase a car like that. It had been 3 years of age. And but my mom just thought, you know, it would be wonderful for that to occur. Well, when we landed at Kennedy Airport in New York City, and the missionary came and says, I got a car for you. And we could hardly wait. So we went out and we got in the car. And guess what? It was a 1960 Catalina, Pontiac Catalina, Klondike Gold. My mother was just astounded that the God had read her mind and decided that he would spoil her. And she told me, she said, you know, sometimes the Lord, when he wants to, he just hauls back, and because of his immense love, he just spoils her rotten. Here we were. We were missionaries coming home from Africa, and you really couldn't be picky. You know, the missionary was supposed to take the money that Dad had and buy a car. He happened to buy the very car. And no one had communicated with this missionary what to get. That's what he got. So experiences like that, that's what God wants to do in our lives on a regular basis. He wants to demonstrate his love and his compassion for us. But that can only occur if we rightly relate to him. We have to be righteous. We have to have our sins confessed up. We also have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And as we do both of those things, then the Lord will reveal himself. And when he reveals himself in our everyday lives, it'll cause us to break out in joyful praise to God. And that's what God is really looking for, is the praise for him for who and what he is.